You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armorall, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armorall products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at Armorall.com. Armorall, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
From Autosport.com and Autosport Magazine, I'm Bryn Lucas, and you're listening to the Autosport Podcast. The 2024 Formula One season has finally got underway out in Bahrain with pre-season testing, and with 24 races this season, the three-day test has more and more importance for the teams as they try to understand exactly what it is that they've developed. It's also a good opportunity for us to see what the teams have been hiding. McLaren and Red Bull. Well, here's the times from day one. Well, unsurprisingly, it was Max Verstappen that led the way with a 131.344. That is around a second and a half quicker than he was at this time last year in pre-season testing, which is pretty ominous. The best of the rest is led by McLaren and Lando Norris. He's just over a second back from Max's time. Then the first Ferrari, Carlos Sainz, in third. Daniel Ricciardo, how about this, making it fourth quickest in the V-Carb RB. Pierre Gasly in the Alpine, then it's Lance Stroll in the Aston Martin leading ahead of Fernando Alonso two places back, sandwiching Charles Leclerc in the second of the Ferraris. Then it's Oscar Piastri in the McLaren, Zhou Guan Yu in the Sauber, Sargeant in the Williams, and George Russell, the first of the Mercedes. Well, that's also because Lewis Hamilton didn't get out on track today. Yuki Tsunoda was the next one up with a V-Carb in 13th place. He's around almost 2.8 seconds off Max's time. And then below them, it's Bottas, Albon, Ocon, and the two Haas cars. I won't tell you the order. It's kind of irrelevant. I mentioned that we haven't seen Lewis Hamilton yet, but we haven't seen Perez either. Hopefully, they'll both be out tomorrow. Well, I'm Bryn Lucas, and joining me today to discuss everything from testing in Bahrain, I'm delighted to have Matt Q out there in Bahrain, and here on UK soil, it's Sam Hall. Welcome to you both. Matt, as you're over there in Bahrain, give us a sense of what it's like, what the atmosphere is like right where you are right now.
It's sort of the expected and the unexpected. So the unexpected is we're in the middle of the desert, and it's pretty chilly. Feels ever so slightly low energy, and that's probably not been helped as the later the day goes on, the later you speak to people, the more laps Max Verstappen's done in that ominous looking Red Bull. But it just doesn't feel sort of, I don't know, overly energetic. That might just be me so far. I mean, I know we've had a bit of Mercedes front wing, a bit of a first Renault ball, but no like dual axis steering to get people talking. You know, there's been no sort of, you know, major rumours about Christian Horner coming on, so it's all just felt a bit low key almost.
Do you know what I really liked about the start of that sentence there, Matt, was you went straight to the weather. It's reassuring to know, you know, every British man loves to talk about the weather. Sam, you're in the UK. I mean, what's the atmosphere like in your room right now?
Well, it's quite warm because the tumble dryer has just been on, so it might be as warm here as in the desert. But it's been it's just been a day of testing. It's sort of, if you imagine a bog standard day of testing, that's what it's been. So the only thing that's been lacking from that really is red flags, which, given how reliable these cars are, we've come to not really expect anyway. So it's business as normal, I think.
The only red flag that we had was just a week or so ago when Red Bull revealed their RB20, and it shocked quite a lot of people up and down the paddock, didn't it? What are your thoughts then, Matt? You've seen it in the flesh now, so to speak. What are your thoughts on it? It seems to be performing quite well.
Yeah, the really ominous thing is that, you know, Red Bull are really happy with how today's gone. They said at their Silverstone shakedown or filming day that everything ran as expected, and today is more of the same, that, you know, they've had no major dramas, they've been pounding around the laps. Yes, we don't know about fuel loads and engine modes, but Verstappen's 1:31.343, right? Sort of fastest time of the day. Okay, it's not as fast as the final day of testing last year, but, you know, it's a second quicker than the fastest time of day one last year. And this is Red Bull with nothing to prove. That will not be a glory run. We saw Verstappen, you know, stitch together another couple of purple sectors late on before backing off. But it's refreshing that they've, you know, done something different, isn't it? As everyone has converged around the RB19, which to all intents and purposes could have been sort of unboxed and wheeled out again and done a sound job this season. They've been, you know, they've really pushed the envelope with it so that they maintain that advantage. And I think that's almost their motivation, isn't it? Not just to win, but to dominate like they have last season. They want to maintain that advantage with the way the rules are set for this year and the year after. Obviously, lots of prying eyes. You know, I want a proper penny for Mercedes thoughts when they've seen that basically they had a car that was too low in the first year of ground effect regulations, too high last year. And now when they could have gone for the Goldilocks sweet spot, they've changed concept completely towards Red Bull. And Red Bull have gone, actually, no, what you did, you're onto something, and here's something quite similar. But it's nice to see something different, a different interpretation. But it just feels like they're already in a different postcode, sort of thinking well ahead.
I remember we were talking about it, I think, last week when the launch happened, or just after the launch, and it was, we chatted about the design. It was almost like Adrian Newey has said to the Mercedes, I tell you what, you design this car, I'll show you how it should be done. And he's developed this incredible car using a similar concept to Mercedes. Sam, what were your thoughts when you first saw it then?
I couldn't look past the sort of Grace Jones shoulder pads, really. It's almost like something straight out of the 80s, sort of those big ducts down the side. I absolutely love it, and I love that they've tried something different, because as Matt rightly said, they could have literally just wheeled out the RB19 and gone, well, there we are, we're going to win again. But the pace of that car as well, that they're a second clear of anyone on day one. Matt used the perfect word earlier in this already, ominous. If you're any other team, how do you react to that? Because yes, it might have been somewhat lower fuel than other people were running, but it was on the same tyres, and it isn't as though anyone was really sort of wildly different, sort of just by looking at the behaviour of the cars. So I think Red Bull are really on to something here, and it is just trolling Mercedes. What do you do if you're Mercedes now? How do you view this? Do you go, why didn't we pursue further? Why did we give up on it? Why did we give in to sort of the peer pressure, if you will, that they were getting? It's, if this car wins on a similar scale to what it did last year, Mercedes will be scratching their heads and going, why can they do it but we can't?
Yeah, I mean, on that, Matt, you're out there, you get to see these cars. I mean, what have you noticed, not just on the Red Bull and the Mercedes, but any other cars out there, maybe some weak spots that you've noticed, or even some cars that you think, hey, they're onto something, they could be looking quite good?
I will actually start with the Red Bull. First of all, that side pod packaging is just crazy. The tiny, tiny sort of little inlets under that, what we're now calling like an overbite surface, and the slats sort of vertically along the monocoque where a side pod should be. That's just, you know, it's really pushing the envelope. And the fact that everyone has converged on one design and Red Bull have been so far ahead to go, actually, no, we're towards a performance ceiling here, no place for complacency, let's do something else. You know, what everyone almost needed, and this is no favouritism one way or the other, but what F1 almost needed was like them to have massive overheating problems on lap four, and then you've got a narrative. But no, they've just pounded around. Max Verstappen, I still think, you know, it implies he's on in heavy fuel, but a bit more understeer than he's probably, you know, usually happy with. So whether that's the car still needs to be dialed in or heavy fuel runs to make that pace look even, you know, disguise that pace even more. other observations is sort of a lot of body language. So Toto Wolff in a press conference seemed a bit sort of low key, not too energetic. That might be because the Bahrain nightlife here is extreme, which means you cannot get a good night's sleep without exhaust banging and bass pounding through the floor, or in my case, reception wrongly dialing my room at 4:15 in the morning. But that's by the by. But I just thought, you know, we know that you can tell from the first morning of testing whether it's a good car or not, whether the drivers, you know, feel a vast improvement, whether basically the engineers can go out and spend their championship winning bonus for that season. You can tell that from, again, fuel modes, engine modes. You can take those out and equate that. And I just felt, you know, Wolff was asked about the novel front wing design or the driver's early impressions, and he was sort of given a, you know, a golden opportunity to go, oh, look at us pushing the envelope, and oh, isn't everyone so happy? And it might just be because he was a bit tired, but he didn't grasp that opportunity. He was just very, very low key. And if I was to read into that, I don't, you know, it's perhaps not the revelatory start they were wanting. I suppose conversely, it could just be that everything is sort of, you know, tempering the expectations after thinking they'd start 22 well and thinking they'd start 2023 well, and it all going haywire. So maybe this is just a bit of a different kind of communication spin. But I just wanted to, as a F1 fan first and foremost, I just wanted to feel a bit more enthusiasm from them to think, oh, maybe there will be a proper fight behind Red Bull or to catch Red Bull if they have a down day.
Some sort of poker playing almost, you know, so he could have been holding some cards and just, you know, being really upbeat and really, hey, you know what, we're not worried because we know what we can deliver. That kind of mentality, is that what you're hinting at, Matt, that you'd like to see from Toto?
I hope so. I think that's a positive spin on it. Either that or he is a little bit, you know, dejected because he's had a swirl of basically being caught out in a driver market by Hamilton. You know, Hamilton effectively called Mercedes bluff on that 1+1 deal, and he's gone and doesn't have a replacement lined up, and the new contracts for Wolff and Allison weren't enough to keep him to stay. So you've got that background, and then maybe, as I said, the lack of energy as a whole coming into the new season. But you'd have thought, if they'd have, you know, if Russell and Hamilton had come back on, oh, what a transformation, guys. The innate handling of this car is so much better. You would have thought you'd at least maybe see a smile from him, but it was a very sort of demure press conference performance from him.
Just to stay with Mercedes for a moment, because they've got a bit of an unusual front wing that seems to be exploiting a couple of loopholes. Let's go to you, Sam, first of all. I know that Matt's out there and he's seen them up close and personal, but were you expecting to see something slightly different from their performance, given what they've tried to do with that front wing?
I think it's a very clever gimmick that gets around the regulations. What this is there's a very thin piece of carbon fibre that connects the uppermost flap of the wing to the nose cone, and that makes it compliant. It's a very weirdly shaped nose cone or front wing because of that. But I think everyone got distracted by this gimmick, really, and thought, oh, this might be like DAS. It could be like their trick suspension that they had a few years ago. And everyone sort of went, oh, maybe they'll be competitive because they've done this one thing. But it doesn't. I know this is very, very early days, and you can never, sort of the old cliche, you can't read too much into pre-season testing, let alone day one. But when you're over 2.7 seconds off of who you view as your chief rival, people are going to start reading into that. So maybe it's another gimmick that Mercedes have found and Red Bull can perfect for them later. That's one way to look at it. But I don't know what to expect from Mercedes now, because we've had several seasons since 2021, so we've had two seasons in a row that really Mercedes just haven't been at the races for one reason or another. So maybe it's just recency bias that we expect them to be a front-running team, or we expect them to be able to take it to Red Bull. But every team goes through these runs. I mean, Ferrari haven't really done, or they haven't made a championship challenge for God knows how many years now. And maybe this is Mercedes' phase of doing this. It might be that they turn up the wick on Thursday or Friday and we go, wow, that's brilliant. So everything we say here has to be taken with that pinch of salt, really, with that caveat. But I don't know what to expect from Mercedes anymore, and maybe this is just what they've got. They have the ideas, but they don't necessarily know how to perfect them.
As much as it's ominous that, Matt, you were saying how strong Red Bull are looking, it's ominous that maybe Mercedes aren't delivering at the moment. You're out there. It's very early days with testing. There's only two more days to go, but it's still very early days, isn't it? What have you gleaned from that front end, that wing? Have you noticed anything from seeing it, you know, out on track that you didn't notice before?
Well, I've been chasing that story quite hard today because it seems to have been a bit of a storm in a teacup. That's what I suggested to Mercedes, and they said, there's no storm, it's more like teaspoons rattling, because everyone's seen this sort of thin bit of carbon fibre connecting that top element and said, it, you know, it's pushing the boundaries of legality. It's not really. There's a line in the rules that says basically the second to last front wing element, the edge of it has to be obscured by a bit of carbon fibre above it. Now, most teams do a whole sort of full width front wing element. Mercedes have done a slender piece. That's fully allowed, that's fully compliant. You know, Mercedes has said it's not a double diffuser next big trick thing. It slightly controls airflow better, but it's not going to give you half a second of lap time.
Oh, that's disappointing, Matt, that there isn't any drama. I mean, come on. I mean, we love reality TV, don't we? So let's just move on to something else that's been slightly hidden, and that's McLaren. During their launch, the images that they revealed anyway, it was fairly secretive about their floor. Now you've seen it, what can you tell us about the floor? Anything interesting, and what about their day as well out there in Bahrain?
The flippant answer is it's a Formula One floor on a Formula One car. I think it's a bit of typical F1 pre-season subterfuge, isn't it? Where, you know, so they teased, or the images they put out with their very low-key car release, two sort of different views and two different floor specifications. Now that compares to Red Bull sort of deliberately obscuring their side pod inlets or basically covering up the whole of their floor with what looked like a steel girder covering their floor edge. I think that's just McLaren's take on it, but it's not, when the covers come off, it's not been some kind of shock that everyone's rushing to do an analysis of. It's just been sort of almost a footnote to the day. I don't think there's anything too much to read into that. I suppose the bigger picture of McLaren, isn't it, is that is effectively, yeah, I'm not trying to get us in trouble with McLaren's lawyers, but like, that's almost an RB19B, isn't it? That is last year's Red Bull concept developed and McLaren's concept developed again. That's sort of, yeah, the next step along. But as we said earlier in this video, Red Bull have decided that there is a definite performance ceiling to that design, which is why they've gone another way.
What about their performance, Sam? If you start on this one, the performance, because Lando Norris is the best of the rest, isn't he? Piastri a bit further back, but early days, it's looking positive from the Woking lot.
Yeah, it's again, it's starting where they left off. I mean, it was a bit, again, ominous with the Red Bull, where Lando went fastest and then Verstappen came out of the pits and went, well, I'll go 0.8 a second quicker than you again. But Lando, he was delayed coming out of the pits for the afternoon session. Bit of concern around the rear of his car, but when he did get out, he put in 72 laps, which that's pretty high up on the list actually for the afternoon running. I think that might be the highest for the afternoon running. But that built on what Oscar Piastri had done in the morning, and really, the only difference between the two cars' performance was the track temperature and the conditions. If you factor that in, they were pretty much level on what they were doing. So, again, all the caveats, but McLaren, if they can continue this, and it's always an if, they look quite strong. But there are other teams that, again, look as though they could get into the mix here. It doesn't look... This convergence plan from F1 seems to be, at first glance, working again this season.
Yeah, but, and what about Ferrari then? Because we looked down the list at Ferrari, they're third with Carlos Sainz, and Charles Leclerc's a bit further back. He's around about 0.7 off the pace, it seems, from what Carlos is doing. This is great for Carlos Sainz. It's a great advert for him for 2025, isn't it? But what have you gleaned from the Ferrari setup?
Again, that could largely be put down to conditions, because Charles was actually second in the morning session as well. So Carlos was third overall. Not too much between them, again, factoring in conditions. But Carlos came out with this whacking great aero rake on the rear of his car that so heavy that it was making the whole rear wing shake. Looked quite concerning for a bit when you were looking at the rear wing. About exactly a tenth between him and Lando Norris. So, again, I wasn't a fan of that Ferrari livery either. Matt took us to liveries a minute ago earlier. But I wasn't a fan of that Ferrari livery. I'm not a fan of the stripes down the side. But the McLaren that Matt doesn't like, I'm quite a fan of that one. I think that one works. We can agree on the Sauber being the naff one. We all saw that and went, green, we love it. Oh, hang on, it's not very good, is it? But yeah, going back to the point, Ferrari, they look strong. They've had a good day.
I love that Ferrari. I think it's a beautiful looking thing. And I think that steak, Sauber, kick, whatever it's happened to be called, I think it's one of those that I think somebody said that it's one of those liveries that you build in one of those games, those cheap apps that you can build a car, and it just seems to be one of those. I'm saying that, you don't have to agree. Matt, what about the rest of the teams? We finally saw Williams had a fuel pump issue, not a great way to start their 2024 season.
Yeah, a few messy things for them. So every time I looked up, Sargeant seemed to be having a lock up or going off, and then yeah, I think it was a drive shaft issue at the end, curtailed their running, but in terms of unreliability, it's sort of not a massive drama, I don't think. It's obviously Haas really underwhelmingly said they're focusing on tyre performance, not aero. I mean, that was a massive failing of theirs last year, so you can understand why they're focused on that, but they'll be cut adrift. I think Sauber generally sort of fairly content with where things are going. Ferrari was an interesting one. I think, you know, there's our well-connected Italian colleagues are saying the drivers are happy that there's less understeer, that the rear end's been tamed. But I think fundamentally there is that performance ceiling, because Red Bull, McLaren, Mercedes, they've all converged on one rear suspension setup, and Ferrari aren't doing that. That is a massive, massive gamble.
Well, the other teams, Sam, let's have a look well outside the top four. Who's stood out for you or not, as the case may be? Anything interesting that you've noticed?
The team that I was trying to keep an eye on earlier was actually Alpine, because you look at the timing sheets and they didn't do anything that was overly spectacular. You had Esteban Ocon 16th, and I'm just scrolling around now and trying to find where Pierre Gasly was, but he was 5th actually, so he did pretty well. But Ocon, for the most of the time, they were running the C1 tyre, the hardest tyre, and Ocon actually set his fastest time on that compound. So I think that they might have some pace that they're sort of hiding. They're very, very slowly and methodically working up on this. I'm not saying that they're suddenly going to be challenging like Aston Martin were last season. They're not going to do that. But I think they've unlocked something, and they're trying to make sense of it before going on an outright power run and going, here it is, this is what we've got. So Alpine would be my team to watch from today, I think.
What about you, Matt? Who stood out for you? Anyone in particular? Other than the ones you've mentioned?
No, I'm trying to think. Aston looked like had a smooth start today. Alpine, it's funny sort of you say that, because we were speaking to a couple of people from the team and who are even they're sort of a bit unconvinced by their own turnout a little bit. I mean that more sort of, you know, the livery looks bad on TV in terms of a marketing point of view, and the fact that it is all black. We know that they're sort of locked in with the engine. They can improve reliability but not performance too much. And I think they've said that because it is such a big departure from last year's car, which was terrible, they're expecting a slow start.
We've got RB. We haven't mentioned RB.
Go on then, Sam. Mention RB and Daniel Ricciardo.
Daniel Ricciardo in the Red Bull second car. No, the RB. It's entirely its own car. In fourth
place. The V-Carbo
place.
One. The V-Carbo
yeah, that's the one.
Come on. Yeah.
Daniel Ricciardo in the V-Carbo One in fourth place. He seemed to be, every time he was out there, he seemed to want to give it more and more. And I don't know whether there was someone in his ear saying, just hold back a bit. We don't want any protests, or we don't want any trouble, because as Matt says, we've got this interview with Zac Brown, who is extremely wary of the relationship and the closeness of it between Red Bull and RB. Daniel Ricciardo just seemed to be loving life every time he was out there. Could they be the team that makes the biggest jump this year? I think there'd be a lot of people that would quite happily put money on RB being the team to climb the most places. Hardly difficult when you finish where you did last season. But they, especially in the hands of Ricciardo, the RB was impressive, I felt, today.
Well, finally for both of you, it is day one of testing. Just how much do you really learn?
I think the only conclusion we can draw from today is that Max Verstappen and Red Bull are going to be extremely difficult to beat. And, I mean, who would have thought that? The car that wins almost every race in one season is very good the next season. I think that's all we can conclusively say from today. The order will doubtlessly become clearer on day three with everyone going for their performance runs, but for now it's very, very difficult to read anything into the times other than right at the top and that margin.
Well, there you go. We've got through day one. What have we learned? Not so sure. What we do know is the teams are going to be scratching their heads and looking at all the data into the night to try and get their heads around it before they head out again for day two. And we'll be across all that for you. So make sure you like and subscribe, and we'll bring you all the coverage of 2024 as you'd expect from me, Bryn, from Matt, and from Sam. We'll see you next time. Thanks for watching.
Sports Social Podcast Network.